This is James Murray on behalf of Marcia McMahon, host of Peaceful Planet, inviting you to join us as we share messages from the Ascended Masters and Archangels with the intention of lifting you up into a higher vibration of love and peace for the planet. Do you like music, angels, and channeling? Are you spiritual, a psychic, or a healer? Then tune in to Peaceful Planet every other Saturday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Central on BBS Radio Station 1. Each week, we bring you cutting-edge world teachers, and we share with you profound works like the Jesus Mysteries, the Ascension Series, and other divinely inspired messages and music. Do you want to accelerate your spiritual purpose? If so, then sign up for a psychic reading, Reiki healing, or an angel class with spiritual teacher Marcia McMahon. Just visit DianaSpeaksToTheWorld.com for more information. You'll also find divinely inspired channel artwork from Princess Diana, John Lennon, and Archangel Michael. Don't forget to check out Marcia's latest release, available on Amazon.com, entitled Notes from John, Message from Across the Universe, featuring the messages of the late John Lennon and inspired lyrics to the songs of the Half-Beats. We thank you for joining us, and we look forward to hearing from you on the Peaceful Planet Show every other Saturday, 4 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on BBS Radio Station 1.
Welcome, everyone. Good evening, good afternoon, wherever you may be on this wonderful spring evening as we celebrate the energies of the divine feminine, the goddess energies, the rebirth energies of spring. We've just passed through the first day of spring last week, and we're into the new moon energies this evening, and I'm going to call upon many ascended masters to speak this evening on the divine feminine. We promise you'll hear a very interesting show with my channeling of Mary Magdalene, Mother Mary, Princess Diana, and many other masters on the divine feminine and the hidden wisdom teachings that have been long hidden and long lost to ancient Christianity, and even before Christianity was born, there were movements of the divine feminine way back in the ancient Hebrew Bible known as the Sophia mysteries. And of course, Sophia is mentioned in the book of Genesis as the divine feminine aspect of the Mother God. And since I was an art history professor for so many years, I taught many of the gods and goddesses of the ancient world, and of course, many of them you will recognize by name, such as goddess Athena or Persephone, and of course, the myth of Persephone coming out in, you know, out of the darker underworld and rebirthing in spring. And then, of course, if you are familiar at all with the great classical works of the Renaissance, you will remember Venus on the Half Shell, or The Birth of Venus by Botticelli. And that is said to be an actual portrayal of the goddess energy of Mary Magdalene. She's depicted nude on the half shell, rolling in on a wave by the artist Botticelli. So I'm examining the art and the music and the symbology and the channeled messages from the Ascended Masters this evening. We'll hear from Sophia, we'll hear from Mary Magdalene, Mother Mary, and Princess Diana, and I'll cover as much material as I possibly can and shed some light on what happened throughout the ages and how the goddess was originally revered and came to be neglected in these past 2,000 years, either unintentionally or intentionally by the Church Fathers. So I'll be delving into a little bit of the history and also the channeling. But before I begin, I'd like you to settle into a comfortable space, make yourself ready to receive the benediction of the goddess this evening. And I'm calling upon Mother Mary and Mary Magdalene and Princess Diana and Lady Allura of the Divine Feminine Angelic Realm, and Sophia, to send forth her divine blessing of energy and wisdom and truth, and to open our hearts and minds to the information that I'm about to share with all this evening, which hopefully will illumine your journey along the way of truth and illumine more about the Master Jesus, who attempted to incorporate the divine feminine into his teachings, but unfortunately it was edited out of the earlier gospels. But there is actually a gospel of Gnostic gospels, a collection of gospels that were found in the sands of Egypt in 1945, and you can Google this, and you can look at the fragments of the Gospel of Mary Magdalene, and it definitely mentions her a relationship with Jesus as very intimate, and it also mentions in the fragments that that they were close and she had visions of him once he transcended the physical realm after the crucifixion. So there is much to be revealed this evening, and we welcome you to the show, and we hope that you're able to view the images I posted. This afternoon I posted a portrait I did, a channeled portrait of Mary Magdalene, that should be showing on headlined shows for this evening on The Peaceful Planet as well. There's a portrait of Diana, Mother Comfort, and that is Princess Diana holding children. And then, of course, there's Mother Teresa and Lady Diana, and it's called Ascension Together. So I would suggest, if you can find it, to go to those images and do a meditation on the images as you receive these words from the ascended master realms, from the goddesses that are present and overlighting us this evening. And we call forth their energies once more to more firmly ground the goddess energy this evening for you, and to put you in a place of great peace. For the times that we are living in are very troubled, and now more than ever, we need the energies of the divine feminine to come forth both into our leadership circles, but also to balance out the strong male energies that tend to, and I'm not saying that this is true of all males, of course, but the stronger male energies that overexpress themselves in things like conflict and war and all kinds of things that are going on in the world that are so hard to face, the terrorism that recently happened in London, and Diana has a few comments about that. So we send our condolences out to the victims of those terrible atrocities. And furthermore, you know, just on the religions that have held the men in high esteem for so many thousands of years, 2,000 to be exact, with the religion of Christianity. And we'll get into a little bit of exploration of the history of how the Gospels came to be written and how they came to not reveal or even write the Gospel of Mary Magdalene into what is termed the canonical Gospel. So there's an entire history that's been suppressed. But when these Gospels were discovered in ancient Egypt in 1945, they were called the Gnostic Gospels. But Mary tells me that truly even those Gospels were distorted. But the story goes that in about 325 A.D., from 325 to 350 A.D., Emperor Constantine, the Roman Emperor, had a conversion experience, and he had a conversion experience through the experience of having a war with another Roman ruler who was his enemy, so to speak, and he had a vision of a cross in the sky, but he attributed the vision to his success in war, and then he decided to convert to the Christian religion, which had, prior to this, had been deeply persecuted, and many of the disciples known as the Essenes had fled to various areas of the globe to seek comfort and privacy and security outside of Palestine. So we'll get into a little bit of that story, but to finish my thought with whatever happened to the Gospel of Mary Magdalene and some of the Gnostic Gospels that never got incorporated into the canon of the Bible as we know it, is that Constantine convened this gathering of bishops from all over the Middle East and Africa and Egypt and so on. And Mary Magdalene had spent some time in Egypt, and she tells me that that is where she fled to after the crucifixion for safety. And I will read a message from Mary just in a moment, but to give you a little historical background, what actually happened is that Constantine gathered only male bishops to his conference and only those people who weren't considered heresy. And so he was going through the sorting of the books of the Bible and trying to figure out which ones to highlight the most. So any books that were written from female disciples, such as the great Mary Magdalene, who was Jesus' appointed disciple, and she was the primary disciple of Jesus, and it's well recorded now in her Gospels, and throughout the scholarly literature and research that's been done on her Gospel since its discovery in 1945. So basically, it was decided that these female disciples should have no voice, and especially Mary Magdalene, because she came to be regarded as a prostitute, which is not altogether clear, nor is it altogether accurate to say that. But her gospel was going to be presented by the Desert Fathers from Egypt, and then they got wind that they were soon to be executed for presenting their gospel. So they retracted that and left the conference and went back to Egypt and decided that they had to do something to preserve the gospel. So they took all of the Gnostic writings, which had been in existence and had been practiced by early Christians in Egypt for about 350 years then, and they decided that they would not put them in the library, the Great Library of Alexandria, but rather would store them in the desert sand. So they rolled up all the scrolls. I think they were originally written on leather or parchment, or possibly even some of them were, possibly metal, and they were engraved. So all of these pieces of parchment, mostly parchment, were buried in the sands of Egypt, and they were only discovered by Bedouin boys sometime later in Egypt, and they were sold on the black market, and they came into the hands of a German scholar who recognized the significance of this. But Mary speaks about her gospel and her writing of the gospel and how she fled to Egypt. So we'll pause, and I'll find that message. And then I also will open up our lines to our listeners. And so if you're tuning in this evening and you have a question, I would just ask that you hold your question about the Mary Magdalene mysteries or the Jesus mysteries until I've had a chance to thoroughly bring through one of the messages. And when I have ended the message, then you're free to call in, and we'll leave space in between so that we can receive your calls and questions about the Divine Feminine. So our number to call again on BBS Line 1, if you're on the phone, you can just simply press the one button. And if you're calling from home, you can call 888-627-6008 on Line 1 with the Peaceful Planet. And I'm going to now bring forth a message from Mother Mary and Mary Magdalene on the truth of what really happened 2,000 years ago and her gospel. So this is Mother Mary, and I'm going to bring her through first, and then I'll pause, and then we'll take your calls, and then I'll bring through Mary Magdalene. So Mother Mary is speaking here, and she is saying, I have come to speak to you today, my child, about the Divine Feminine. In my womb, I bore the embodiment of the divine love of God. I have been many things to many cultures, and I am still revered as the Queen of Heaven. Jesus and I were part of the twin souls during the early days of Earth and Lemuria, at the time known as Myrrh, and our physical vehicle was the same soul. We are also twin flames, and the Magdalene is part of the twin flame, being part of the divine goddess energy as well. I helped her after the crucifixion, but she had to be ushered out of Palestine in the strictest secrecy. That is part of the mystery of the Incarnation, that my son had no father but the Father, Mother, God, and I was also born immaculate. Mary was in our circle of love, and we found no fault with her. The child of Mary, my granddaughter named Sarah, was raised far away from me, but I was there at the birth in Egypt, just like we had to flee to Egypt when Jesus was a child. Egypt is a place of shelter to all holy families, and was also to be a shelter to the beautiful Princess Diana, with whom you work. The mystery of God and this magnificent creation does not always end up in the history books or the religions either. That is why I am larger and bigger than all the lore that is said about me. I am Mary, the Immaculate Mother of Jesus, Mother of all Earth children. Come to my arms and rest from your burdens. I love you one and all with the love of the Mother. So, wow, what a message and what a confirmation. So that was delivered a long time ago, and I read the message probably more than 12 years ago on the Peaceful Planet when I was first delving into the Holy Grail Mysteries. And I have the mystery series that I sell at my conferences, and you can also contact me at dianaspeakstotheworld.com if you would like to obtain a copy of some of the shows that I've done in the past, investigating past lives with Jesus and archaeological evidence as well. So if you are wanting to call into the show tonight, you may feel free to do so. It's Line 1 and 888-627-6008. And if we don't have any calls, I'll go on with Mary Magdalene's message on the Divine Feminine and her relationship, her sacred relationship to Jeshua. I call him Jeshua. His real name was Jeshua ben Joseph some 2,000 years ago. And this is Mary Magdalene's message channeled to me, and it was presented at Still Point Retreat Center last year, last spring, about this time. Dear Mary, you came to me last night in prayer and meditation. Is there anything you wish to say about your relationship to Jeshua? Mary Magdalene, my child and friend, it is true of our romantic relationship. I was the woman who sat at the feet of the Master Jeshua, described as in your Bible as the house of Martha and Mary. I was the receptive one to him and fell in love with the Master Jeshua. We held a friendship for many years before our romance blossomed, shortly before the crucifixion. Those were both wonderful and terrible days. I gave birth to the child of Jesus, named her Sarah, and raised her in Egypt and then in France. Because of the fiery persecution of all of the followers of Jeshua or Christ in the Roman Empire or Gaul, as France was known then, our identity was a secret to all but a few. Sarah was my sunshine child and my consolation in losing the love of my life, my husband Jeshua. She provided for me an outlet of joy. I did write down the teachings of the Master recorded in that gospel. However, that book has also been distorted by the Church Fathers. She goes on to say, I am of the divine feminine and speak with compassion about the power of the sacred feminine. It was the mission of the Master Jeshua to bring me to leadership in our circles, which did occur with the apostles who supported me. It was later removed and my memory denigrated to that of a harlot. Call upon me for strength, compassion, and for help in childbirth. My sacred bloodline exists even today in France and England, and I leave you with the thought that history is told by the ones who control power. Look again within your souls to the kingdom of God, Goddess, within for the truth. For my love extends to all who hear and recognize me this evening. I am Mary Magdalene. So it again confirms the existence of her gospel written in Egypt, which bears testament to the findings of the Gnostic Gospels, also called the Sophia Pistis, and that there were other Gospels of Mary in the Coptic Gospel of Mary, which Coptic means Egyptian. And so this is all very interested, and the burial in the sands only allowed the salvation of the actual Gnostic Gospels to come to light because, as many of you may know, that the library in Alexandria was burned by the Romans sometime later after the conquest of Egypt and possibly Alexander. So sometime later, it burned to the ground, and if it weren't for the Desert Fathers who kept monastic tradition alive in reverence of Mary of Magdalene, there would have been absolutely no records and no recollection and no proof that Mary had ever written a gospel, though she tells me in her later channeled messages to me that some of her gospels are still in existence and have yet to be discovered in southern France when she lived in the Languedoc area of France. And her cave is still visited by pilgrims. I'm not sure if it would be in that cave or another cave, but she tells me that it's still waiting to be discovered, so that would be remarkable. So there are all kinds of theories about what really happened with Mary Magdalene, and I think that this couldn't be more clear. But as I've gotten to know Mary Magdalene through many people that have come to me for past life regression, and because I always felt a connection to Master Jesus and have channeled him many times and begun to compile his messages that go in tandem with Mary Magdalene's. So I'm planning to release a book with Dorothy Mercer, and she's a wonderful publisher and very open to my messages from Jesus. She's an ordained Methodist minister, but her ministry is really publishing, and I have yet to compile all of this into a book, but I'm sitting here with all these papers and reams of papers of Mary Magdalene's message, Archangel Michael's message, and Serapis Bay, and the lineage of the Divine Feminine going all the way back to Atlantis, and even into prehistory, because as I was saying before, I was an art history teacher, and so some of the first images that I taught in so many of the art history classes that I began in, you know, Art History 101 would be fertility goddesses. So the goddess was worshipped in the early beginnings of our Earth history, both in Mesopotamia and in Egypt, and also at Jericho, which happens to be one of the most ancient cities on Earth. There were four main cultures that evolved in Jericho, and there was a fertility goddess there. So they worshipped there, and then other fertility goddesses have been found. And it was thought and believed that by rubbing on the belly of the pregnant fertility goddess that would cause the fertility of the person that was praying to that particular idol. Of course, this sounds rather primitive, but actually if you go really back into the history of the Hebrew Bible and look carefully at the first book of Genesis and the second book of Genesis, there's also the mention of Sophia, and she predates the Elohim, which is the L strand of the Bible, and she also predates the other strand of the Bible. And so, you know, the collective of the creator gods, the Elohim, is a soul group that I also happen to channel. So it's very interesting because of the interfacings of so many ancient traditions. But then we have Athena, which is from the ancient Greek culture, and that is another fantastic soul tradition that I've been touching into in past life regression with others, as well as with myself. I served in the Temple of Athena in another lifetime, and of course, many records exist about the powers of the oracle at Delphi. And Athena actually was, I believe, a real person that existed in Atlantis as Altea, and then it was translated into Athena. But she was known as the goddess of wisdom, and many from the ancient world would go travel thousands of miles. Even the Romans and the emperors would go to Delphi once a year during the Delphic Games. The first Olympiad was held there, and they would also consult the Oracle of Delphi. And I was, in a past life, I was associated with that group of women that worshipped the goddess Athena. So it's very interesting to get both the art history and the history, and then the channeling as it's corresponding to the divine aspects of the goddess. So it's really important to keep in mind that we're talking about the divine Godhead, and when we say goddess, I'm not talking about the pagan rituals necessarily, though I am tracing them in the art historical context. I'm really speaking of the divine feminine in terms of the soul aspect of the divine, the Godhead. So we speak of God and goddess as equal parts of the same divine feminine and divine masculine, of which Jeshua and Mary Magdalene were the perfect components and soulmates as they did their work. And I've been involved in so many past life regressions of so many former disciples that end up being in my groups, where I do retreats at Still Point in Belleville, Illinois, but also people just come find me on the internet and come to me for regressions. And sometimes a lot of the people that I've been attracting to me are also telling me all kinds of fascinating hidden information about where Jesus traveled and what he did and what his real mission was and how he was a world teacher to all the religions. So I'm getting more and more information that I've collected over the years, and more people are being challenged with this past life information, that if they can recall a past life with Jeshua, they can recall meeting Mary Magdalene and Mother Mary and working with them. And the mission of Jesus was just so much more vast than what can be comprised in the Bible today, although the Bible contains a good deal of wisdom, and the gospel accounts are for the most part accurate. There's so much more depth and wisdom in Jesus' incorporating of the traditions that came up out of Egypt and also the Eastern traditions. So we're bringing to light many more traditions, and I do believe in my heart that Jesus was a master teacher, the greatest master teacher, the one that really attained at one moment with God, and also presented his teaching of the divine feminine within the context of his teachings, and wanted Mary to be a part of the Inner Way tradition, which was the divine feminine encompassing the right side of the brain, the nurturing part, the mother part, and the part of us that I guess we've denied for 2,000 years in the so-called Christian and Judaic and Muslim traditions, where it's been the main focus has been on the one true God. And of course, religion today is in a very poor state of consciousness in so many respects, not all of it, but a lot of it is still very patriarchal and repressive of women and repressive of the divine aspect. And so Jesus charged Mary Magdalene with bringing forth her gospel and her Inner Way teachings were lost to the entire world. And what a great loss that was, because he empowered her. He appeared to her first during the resurrection, and she had a great many teachings on the resurrection, and she continued to hold visions of Jesus as she worked with the Gnostic disciples. Those were the disciples known as John, and of course John the Beloved. I'm speaking of John the Beloved, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and some of the others. And then she did work briefly with Peter and Andrew, but Peter and Andrew were destined to form the outer church, or the basic structure of the what we now know as the Roman Catholic, and then the Protestant church came along later trying to purify the church. So it was originally intended by Jesus that there would be this outer church that would be the expression of his mission and his teachings on love, which was a new revelation in the Hebraic tradition, and then the Inner Way teachings and the Inner Way mystery school of Mary Magdalene. So in the coming weeks, we're going to explore the Sophia traditions, and we're going to explore Mary Magdalene with Joanna Prentice in 2 weeks. Be sure to set your calendar to join us, because we'll be airing Joanna's Power of the Magdalene book, which I haven't had a chance to interview her on, and she co-authored that book with Stuart Wilson. And there was a good deal of scholarship and editing that went through many phases before they produced the book, but it's a marvelous explanation of how Mary Magdalene was continuing to teach both in southern France and also possibly on the island of Cyprus each summer. Joseph of Arimathea would gather up all the disciples from the extant regions where they were in hiding, largely in France and Britain and even in Egypt, and bring them to Cyprus so that Mary can continue the tradition of the Jesus teachings. But sadly, there was a breaking up of the disciples, of course, after the crucifixion and after the resurrection, which I do believe happened. I have a recollection of that happening. For a long time, I could not remember it. I do remember a past life as a female disciple walking with Jesus, and I have a vivid recollection of that lifetime. And for a long time, I could not access the memories of the resurrection. It was lost to me. But everything does come to light eventually, and now is the time for the earth to be bringing all of this information to light so that we can better understand what our role as females is today and how we can be a voice for comfort in the world. And certainly Diana was a beautiful representative. Diana is a representative of the divine feminine, and she works on the inner planes now, both with Mother Mary and Mary Magdalene, and she confirms that in her work with me. So it's all very interesting, because Diana played a very interesting role in helping and touching the lepers and going to visit Mother Teresa's House of the Dying and touching the dying and working with the untouchables, and she reached out her love in a way that was, before that, no royal member of the royal family would have dreamed to do. So the divine feminine energies are very much present on the planet today, and they need to be brought forth in order to create more of a balance, because so many of these wars are in the name of God. The whole thing of terrorism is committing acts of atrocity in the so-called name of God, which is sort of a blasphemy on God, more than sort of. And Diana speaks on this openly in the book, and also just that the religion in itself, the patriarchal religions, have become somewhat of a distortion, even in Christianity and even in monotheism. Mention of the goddess stirs up all kinds of pagan influences, and I'm not opposed at all to that either. I used to tell my students when I taught art history that you can believe whatever you want to believe, and incorporating the pagan belief systems all contain a kernel of truth. But for myself, I'm inclined to the basic tenets of the Christian faith with a mystical perspective on them, and basically a love and respect for both Jeshua and Mary Magdalene, and trying to bring that truth to light on the show is one of the gifts that I've been working with for over 11 or 12 years now. So if you have any questions and you'd like to ask a question, you can press line 1 and state your name and your question, and I will try my best to answer that question on the Divine Feminine, Princess Diana, or anything else concerning our topic this evening. And that number again is 888-627-6008. And if you haven't any questions, I'm going to move into a message again. I think maybe now might be a good time to take a little break and listen to Remarkable Diana, and we'll be back with some messages from Princess Diana, Archangel Michael, and the grand lineage of the Divine Feminine. So let's play Remarkable Diana as channeled from the late John and George of the Halfbeats, and we give credit to James Murray and Bob Murray at thestarsstillshine.com. Thank you. Diana's message on the terror attack on Parliament this very week. And I also want to credit that we were listening to Remarkable Diana by Robert and James Murray of The Stars Still Shine, and that's written by John and George of the Halfbeats on the other side, who overlight our program and provide the music through James Murray. So thank you very much. So this is Princess Diana's message on the attack on Parliament that happened this week. And of course, she says, "I've seen the recent destruction of the strike and terrorists in the Parliament. Theresa May spoke so eloquently of London being the heart of the world's first democracy, and that the terrorists wish to strike there because they don't uphold the values of freedom, democracy, and free speech. I commend her speech and her values. I stand with my people of Britain, though I am comforting the victims that have crossed over." We've been comforting the victims since the inception of the attack. Naturally, I'm concerned about the members of the royal family. This has always been a concern to me, but I think they're well protected. William and Catherine have been visiting many sites in Paris associated with my death and giving honor and tribute to myself. I'm very glad that they were out of the country at the time this happened, but it's well known they're located in Kensington, and as a mother always, I worry about the safety of my children and grandchildren. But I know they also have excellent security detail. There will be a festival in my name this coming summer, and I wish you, Marcia, to ask you to travel to England and contact those places where you were, where you could place your art and books in my memory. You know what I'm referring to, and you will have to go through formal channels to get it accepted. And she's saying you could spend some time in Glastonbury and get out into the country at a bed and breakfast, and you could spend some time in London. I'm sending on healing to those victims and all of their family and to my country at this time. I'm sending my love, and I'm ever guiding England, for I am England's rose. All my love in a troubled time, Diana. So what a lovely message. And now I'm going to refer back to Mary Magdalene. And remember that you can call in with your questions about the Holy Bloodline and the Divine Feminine Goddess Energy, Mary Magdalene, or Mother Mary and the disciples. Any question that you have at all, I'd be happy to answer your question. Just press 1 if you're listening by cell phone. And I'm going to bring through now Mary Magdalene and the power of the Divine Feminine and her rose, which was presented at the Still Point Retreat Center. I'm planning on having another retreat coming up in May at the Still Point Center, but a date hasn't been located yet, usually on a Sunday. And I know it won't be the first Sunday in the month, so please feel free to write me through my website at dianaspeakstotheworld.com if you're living in Illinois or St. Louis area and you'd like to attend. So back to Mary Magdalene now, the power of Divine Feminine and her rose. I come to you today to speak of dreams. I brought the Divine Feminine to highlight Jeshua's work in the Divine Masculine some 2,000 years ago now. I was as appointed apostle, The external church was the rock, Simon Peter, and of course the inner way church was that of the Divine Feminine, which was carried on through the Middle Ages through both my bloodline and the many convents that were built in my honor. There were other convents and other divine aspects of the Divine Feminine that were brought honor and also great dignity. You know these names well, St. Catherine of Siena, St. Teresa of Avila, St. Lucia, and of course St. Mother Mary as Jeshua's mother. I was also recognized as Mary Magdalene in the early church as a saint, and of course everyone knows that the saints in the Western tradition are the ascended masters in the Eastern tradition. Sometimes an ascended master will project themselves into another lifetime for another teaching purpose, which is what I have done, and that is why there are many soul aspects of myself these days. It is a grand reunion of souls at this time, is it not? Jeshua was concerned that the male patriarchal system would take over, and so it did. And there were a great many efforts through inspiration throughout the Middle Ages and the Ages to bring awareness of the Divine Feminine, and my gospel was also changed by the Church Fathers. You can also read it online, the Gospel of Mary Magdalene, and you can read segments of it online, but a lot of it had decayed into the desert sands. There were others of my gospels that I wrote in France, but they are still buried in caves. They will be discovered at some point before the ascension of the planet. All this is still to come to light through archaeology and through past life research in order to weave a more careful garment for the Master. Jeshua, or Jesus, wore a white seamless garment, and all of the grail hunters in the world could not possibly replicate the work that we did at the time. As you well know, Jeshua encourages balance in your lifetime, as they are but dreams in a way of speaking with the Master, and the perfect balance of yin-yang and divine feminine, divine masculine. It is not necessary to become all one or all the other, but rather to develop an appreciation for the both segments of the divine masculine and the divine feminine. I don't need adulation or reverence. I need a willing heart and mind to be open to my message. You too are gifted, and this is the way that Jeshua taught. He taught love. I am forever grateful for your loving heart and kindness to the divine feminine power. I leave you with this thought. History is told by the winners, and all are but dreams, yet truth is at the heart of every good dream. I am inviting all of you who hear me into the circle of the Magdalene Rose today. I am Mary Magdalene, keeper of the Wisdom School. So what a powerful message, and that was channeled August the 3rd, 2015. So I have a few more comments to make about what I've found out in my research. And again, you can press line 1 if you have a question about the Divine Feminine or Lady Diana. But quite some time ago, I found out that Lady or Princess Diana had a past life with Mother Mary, and she was the mother of Mother Mary, known as Anna, and that past life has been well researched through the work of another lady with the gift of connecting to the Akashic records, and I know her first name is Claire, and I'm trying to recall her last name, but she wrote Anna, grandmother of Jesus, and it's a classic book, and she derived her work on the Anna documents through a nun's mystical experiences of remembering past lives with Jesus, and then some past life regression that she herself did. So I'm not remembering her full last name, but it's Anna, grandmother of Jesus, and Princess Diana has told me many times in both of my books, which I'll mention now, that she was the grandmother to Jesus, and she was greatly honored to bring forth and raise Mother Mary, and she was in Ezine, and her home has been excavated now in Nazareth, and I went to visit it when I visited Israel, so it's a fascinating thing to correlate the archaeology and seeing the house that Mother Mary grew up in, where there's an entire church enshrined over it, the Church of St. Mary of Nazareth. But then recently I was watching on CNN because they're doing a series on finding Jesus and finding archaeological remnants, and they apparently have found Jesus's supposed home. They think it's very true. That it dates to that century, and it's in Nazareth, and it was a two-story home and quite a well-to-do home, and they've fully excavated that, and it's in Nazareth under a convent. So all of these things are coming to light for a purpose now, which is to really shed more light on what was really Jesus' actual teaching and what was his intention of bringing his teachings to the earth at that time. And can you imagine and earth without Jesus' important teaching of love, which was the antithesis of the Roman teachings and the Jewish teachings of the time. So he brought a new teaching and a new way, and Mary was destined to help illuminate the new way, and even she refers to the way in her Gospels of Mary Magdalene. I've read many of her Gospels with commentary by different scholars, and they're all a little different. They're all little translations are lost, and of course, my channeling complements that and confirms a lot of my work with spirit, with the extant Gospels that are around. So if you don't believe me, you can go to Google and Google the Gospel of Mary, and you'll find the Coptic Gospels, the Essenes, and more about the Gnostics. So it's a fascinating tradition, which we're going to be bringing in the energy of the goddess this evening. And I have a lovely way to close out the show with a message from Lady Aurora. And she says, I am the divine feminine. So this was channeled as I was doing some work with a very gifted psychic and person that was very much connected to the divine feminine, who remembers a past life with Jesus as well. And she was I was getting a message from Lady Aurora, or also known as Aurora, who is on the spiritual hierarchy as one of the divine feminine angels that works with Archangel Uriel. So this is a beautiful message. Just sit back and receive the divine feminine energy of this message. And after I read it, we'll be closing out with some selected music. This is Lady Aurora. I am of the divine feminine energy, and I come with the greatest love, awe, and respect of the Creator. I am the creative intelligence of the Cosmic Mother, the birther of all radiance and vibration. I embrace you this day with the arms of the divine feminine. I held many names throughout the ages, as Shekinah, as Isis, as Mother Mary, as Mary Magdalene, and many more in ancient cultures. I am the mother to all of you, my people of earth, and the universal mother in the heavens. I am robed in the purest white and gold cloth. I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. I am who am. I am the Alpha and I am the Omega. I am the dance and I am Shiva the dancer. I pulsate with life energy and I am the still waters of the soul. I am crying out to be heard in the society which pollutes the earth and denigrates women in false teaching. I yearn to become one with my peoples. I and the Father are one, and yet my cries for my people go unheard. My children are dying, the earth is in upheavals, and I yearn for my waters to be free, and my people everywhere to have joy. Listen to my call and hearken to the call of the Mother calling you home. I am Lady Aurora. I am the sound of the waves upon a beach, and I am the still waters. Blessed be who hear my pleas for peace for my people, to make peace and let all my children grow free. I bless you tonight. Rest in my truth today. I am Mother Comfort. I am Lady Aurora. And with that note, wow, what a powerful blessing and benediction this evening. I will close out with a selected song. We'll close out with Appreciated Angels as inspired by the half beats from Spirit. And we thank all of you for tuning in and ask you to check out my recent publication, Princess Diana's Message of Peace, and on my website at dianaspeakstotheworld.com. where you can see more, and visit my new YouTube channel, Angel Messages with Marcia McMahon. And we wish you many blessings this evening as we close out with Appreciated Angels. Good night, and please join us in 2 weeks when we'll be featuring the Power of the Magdalene on the show.